This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh. Welcome back to Huda tonight. I always like to thank Brother Ali Coleman in the first segment for giving us the news in such a professional way. So thank you very much, Brother Ali. And you guys, thank you for staying tuned. And we're off here after Ramadan to an all new series, if we can say that, every Tuesday night on this program, Huda Tonight. We're joined by a very special guest who's going to be speaking about an important topic, really an essential topic, something that's very important in the life of every Muslim. And that is, how do we get to know Allah? How do we get to know the Creator, our Sustainer, the one who created us, who sustains us through His names and attributes? This is going to be a continued series with our beloved Sheikh Kareem Abu Zayd. You've seen him on Aqidah Matters and many, many other programs. He was with us here on Ramadan live this last Ramadan, and we are very pleased to have him back every Tuesday night on this program. In this episode tonight, Sheikh Kareem is going to kind of lay out the framework going forward about this topic, the names and attributes of Allah. And going to be teaching them to us as a means of getting closer to Allah and to increasing our spirituality and our connection to Allah, and the correct and incorrect ways to do that. He'll also not only teach us the correct ways, but also clarify some very common misconceptions regarding the 99 names of Allah. Are they 99? Are those posters that we see in many Muslim houses correct that say the 99 names of Allah? He'll be speaking about that as well. You guys, we're going to take a quick look at a report, and we'll be right back with Sheikh Kareem Abu Zayd discussing the names and attributes of Allah as a means of getting closer to Him. So stay tuned for more.
It is said, the sun, which is the smallest star in our galaxy, it's the smallest one in our galaxy, and our galaxy is one of billions. Did you hear that? One of billions. This sun that is millions of times bigger than the earth, and it's the smallest star. They say if one second was given to name every single star that's in our galaxy, not the other ones, just in our galaxy, it is said you will need 600 trillion years and you still wouldn't name them all. And that's in our galaxy, and our galaxy is one of millions and millions that's out there, and all of this is in the first heavens. All of this is in the first heavens. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we've heard this many times, my brothers, but where is the heart? Where is the heart when you stand before your Allah and you say, alhamdulillah, that all praise is due to Allah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, the Lord of the worlds. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, the distance between the first heaven and the second is like a ring in a desert. A ring in a desert. You know what he's saying? Yeah, and it's not existent anymore. Can you even see a ring in a desert? If we were to take an eye picture, right, a bird's eye view of the desert, could you even see the ring? Could you possibly even see the ring? He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says the distance between the first heaven and the second is a distance of 500 years. He says the second to the third is a distance of 500 years. He says the third to the fourth is a distance of 500 years. He says the fourth to the fifth is a distance of 500 years. He says the fifth to the sixth is a distance of 500 years. He says the sixth to the seventh is a distance of 500 years. Then the seventh, above that is an ocean. Above the seventh heaven is an ocean, the distance of which is a distance of 500 years. And then the throne of Allah. He says all the seven heavens to the throne of Allah is like a ring in a desert. He says, and then the throne of Allah Azza wa Jal. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the hadith, he's sitting with the Sahaba. He says to them, you know, I hear what you don't hear, and I see what you don't see. He says, verily the heavens have squeaked. He says, attat as-sama wa hukka laha an ta'id. He says, verily the heavens, my brothers, they've squeaked. And they have every single right to squeak. For there isn't a space for four fingers except there is an angel in prostration to Allah.
Thank you for staying tuned to Huda Tonight. As I mentioned in the previous segment, we're joined by Sheikh Kareem Abu Zayd, the host of Aqeedah Matters live once a week, as well as many other beneficial programs on Huda TV. Indeed, we are pleased and honored to have you back with us, Sheikh Kareem. Thank you.
Twice a week.
Oh, that's right, I'm sorry.
Mondays and Wednesdays.
Wonderful. Well, Sheikh, yes. I want to wish you a wonderful and blessed Ramadan. May Allah accept all of our efforts. And Eid, inshallah, I had a wonderful time with you this last Ramadan on the programs.
I enjoyed being with you always, Malik. Jazakallah khairan.
Thank you.
Jazakumullah khairan, dear viewers. I received personally a lot of nice words.
Wonderful. Yeah. Sheikh, this program, this topic, this series that you'll be doing every Tuesday night, speaking about the names and attributes of Allah. This episode is titled, Getting to Know Your Lord. Who is your Lord? Who is our Creator, our Sustainer?
No.
How do we get to know our Lord? Through what means and what information? And why is it important? Perhaps somebody might say, you know, I pray, I memorize this book and that book, and that's enough for me. So how and why?
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. A statement that the scholars of Aqeedah say, شرف العلم بشرف موضوعه. The nobility of any science is contingent upon the subject matter.
SubhanAllah. Right. Great point. Yes.
Imagine the subject matter is Allah.
Right.
Knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
A sentence that I always repeat in my shows, and especially the shows related to Aqeedah, that it's a pity for a lot of Muslims that they come into this world and they leave without knowing who they worship. Even so, they prayed, they fasted, no question about it. And even so, they have a general knowledge.
Yeah.
But if you go deep into that knowledge, you will enjoy praying, you'll enjoy fasting, you will find yourself certainly
connected with Allah,
connected more with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we're supposed to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with love, with fear, with hope. Now, a question: how do you love Allah when you do not know Allah?
Right.
How do you fear Allah when you do not know Allah?
Right.
How do you hope in Allah when you do not know who Allah is? I think let me go into the first question, which you both were following a certain methodology of presenting this subject, inshallah.
Okay.
How do we know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Well, they say, the scholars, the religion of Islam is divided into two main categories, two main parts. Part number one, al-ilmu billah. Part number two, al-amalu lillah. That you know who Allah is, that's one side.
Right.
The second side, that you worship Allah, that you act.
Okay. On that knowledge.
Once you know who Allah is, then you immediately say, قُلْ إِنَّ صَلَاتِي وَنُسُكِي وَمَحْيَايَ وَمَمَاتِي لِلَّهِ.
Right.
See that?
Yeah.
And they are, a lot of Muslims, they don't realize that they are connected. Actually, if there is a defect, if this is a correct word in this context here. Or shortage in your worship, in your amal,
right,
in your actions, it's because of the lack
of knowledge.
Of knowledge once it comes to the first one. And I will provide an evidence.
Go ahead.
In Surah Fatir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَ اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. Indeed, those who have reverence, that's the right word, خَشْيَة.
Yes, okay.
It's not just pure fear.
Okay.
But reverence.
Okay.
Fear that is mixed with love. Those who truly fear Allah are the most knowledgeable of Allah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also, in a famous hadith which we cite always to use as a witness for different issues in Islam, hadith al-Rahd, hadith Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, fi sahih Muslim, the three individuals who came to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they asked the manner of his worship. How does the hadith is lengthy? I don't want to get there. Yes, but one of them said, "You know what? I'll pray tahajjud every night, never sleep." The other one said, "I will fast every single day, never break fast."
Right.
The third one said, "I will not marry women."
Right.
Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam got on the pulpit and he condemned that. But here is how he condemned this. لَأَنَا أَعْلَمُكُمْ بِاللَّهِ وَأَشَدُّكُمْ لَهُ خَشْيَةً. I am the most knowledgeable amongst you of who Allah is. And I am the most fearful of Him as well. So don't pretend.
Right.
So here is the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam again linked the knowledge to what?
Action or belief.
To action and belief. Actually, proper way too. Right. Proper way.
Yeah, yeah.
There are people who have that attitude, but they end up what? Taking the wrong path.
Right.
They take the crooked way.
Okay.
Now, answering your question now, how do we know Allah? First of all, we cannot see, let's establish this, we cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world.
Right, the eyes are limited.
Period.
Our physical experience is limited.
We just can't. You see, our little size cannot consume His greatness.
Right. It's the nature of the creation.
And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Malik made this crystal clear in a hadith, fi sahih Imam Muslim, اعلموا أنكم لن ترون ربكم حتى تموتوا. Rest assured that you will never be able to see Allah unless you die or until you die. So we affirm al-ru'ya because there are those who negate seeing Allah in the day of resurrection and in Jannah. No, we affirm that we'll see Allah if He wills in the day of resurrection.
Okay.
And if we admit it to Jannah, one of the greatest of all pleasures in Jannah is looking at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wujuhun yawma idhin nadira, faces on that day will be beaming in happiness. إلى ربها ناظرة, because they are looking at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لهم ما يشاءون فيها ولدينا مزيد. In Jannah they get whatever they want and they have the increase. The scholars explain the increase to be looking at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. للذين أحسنوا الحسنى وزيادة. Those who were muhsinin in this world, they will receive the husna, which is Jannah, in the day of resurrection, and extra, more is looking at the face of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we will see Allah in the hereafter, but in this world, we will not. And imagine the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said or made that statement in context of talking about who? The Antichrist.
Oh.
Why? What is the relationship? The Antichrist, someone, a human being, who will come walking into this world and he's going to claim that he is Allah. So Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is telling you,
you will not see Allah.
That the fact that you're able to see Him is the first way to refute His claim.
Right, okay.
To prove that He's a liar.
Okay.
That if you're truly Allah, we shouldn't be able to see you
in the first place.
So now, we cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world. So we establish that. The second thing that we have to establish, there is no created being looks like Allah or similar to Allah.
Point blank, period.
Done.
Okay.
No way. You're going to equalize or make equal the created to the creator. No way.
Right.
أَفَمَنْ يَخْلُقْ كَمَنْ لَا يَخْلُقْ, is the one who creates is the same like the created.
Being right.
لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ.
Right.
No one is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
Once it comes to His divine essence and the nature and the reality of that essence, once it comes to His names, once it comes to His attributes, once it comes to His actions, lordship, creation and sovereignty and disposing the affairs of what He created, no one is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now, the only way, I'm still answering question by the way, but I'm trying to raise a foundation here. The only two ways you're left with to figure out who Allah is and to learn about Allah, way number one, reflecting upon what He created.
Right, and this is mentioned many verses of the Quran also.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Immediately. Look how He addressed the Arabs. أَفَلَا يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَى الْإِبْلِ كَيْفَ خُلِقَتْ وإلى السماء كيف رفعت وإلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت. Look at this. Why don't they look at the camels? You know, camels for the Arabs were like Mercedes and BMW. And
they are an amazing animal, scientifically. Yes, yes. People should admit that. Yeah, yes. It's true, even in this day and age.
Why don't they look how the camels are created?
Yeah.
Who made these camels for them? And to the sky and to the mountains, how they are placed on the top of the earth. And to earth, how it's made even for them. So we were asked, أَفَلَمْ يَنْظُرُوا إِلَى السَّمَاءِ فَوْقَهُمْ كَيْفَ بَنَيْنَاهَا وَزَيَّنَّاهَا وَمَا لَهَا مِنْ فُرُوجٍ. Why don't they look at the sky above them, how we created it and how we decorated it?
Right.
You know, Malik, I'll never forget this. You know, the first time I ever rode in this car, I was traveling in the U.S., you know, speaking in a conference, I think, or one of these weekend trips. So the person who was picking me up at the airport, he was driving this fancy car. And then he was backing with his car, and somehow he had a screen in front of him, but he would give the car gas. He's backing,
yeah.
But the car doesn't move.
Right. Right.
So they had a sensor in the back that right. If there is an object,
don't go.
Even if the driver doesn't see it and yeah. He's giving the car gas,
don't go.
Huh? The car doesn't move.
Yeah.
Imagine this.
Yeah.
You know, I was so, because it's for me, it was like happened like 3-4 years ago. So I know this technology now, you probably right. Are available for a lot of people. But when it came out first, you know, immediately,
surprised.
You know, I was so shocked. Yeah. You know, the first question that I asked, who made that car?
Yeah, that's a good
who
point.
Is the manufacturer?
Right, subhanAllah.
Who is the maker of this car?
Yeah.
Likewise, Allah yeah. Is inviting you to look at this, yeah. Man. Allah, look at this universe.
Yeah.
Shouldn't you
think
ask?
About it.
Shouldn't you ask who made? And the perfection
yeah.
Of the created things.
Yeah.
Would definitely indicate the perfection of the creator.
Oh, sir.
So this is way number one.
Yeah.
Way number two is the one which we're interested in and the one that we want to explore every Tuesday, inshallah, which is studying the names and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed himself to us in the Quran and in the sound hadith by describing himself, by naming himself certain names, describing himself with certain attributes or certain actions. This is another way that we can learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is what we'll be exploring.
Thank you, Sheikh, very much. In the beginning of this program, you mentioned something that really caught my attention, Sheikh. You said, it's a pity that many Muslims come into this world without knowing who Allah is.
Yes.
I guess sometimes we automatically think, if I converted to Islam or I was born Muslim or whatever, I kind of inherited this information without making an effort to study. So in fact, what you're saying is, I mean, imagine non-Muslims. You said it's a pity that Muslims may not know who is Allah. So now, as Muslims, we have to take the initiative and make an effort to know who Allah is, to improve our religion, to get closer to Him, and we can do this.
It's actually a command, Malik. It's not an option.
Okay.
Allah says, "فَاعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ." Learn "لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ." And when the scholars divide Tawheed, they end up dividing it in a very interesting way. And by the way, I want to say, because there are a lot of people who critique, you know, scholars for doing this. These are just, mechanisms
right.
To teach Tawheed.
Yeah, yeah. A helpful way to teach.
You know, a lot of them, they say, you guys are inventing that stuff, you know. Never the Prophet taught Tawheed al-Rububiyyah, Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah, Tawheed al-Asma wa-Sifat. You know, you guys are the breaking up this. What? No, it's mechanism.
It's a way to help you learn.
It's a way to help the masses learn the subject of Tawheed, because it's so important. Listen, if you can come up with a better way, go ahead and do it, as long as you base it on the Quran and Sunnah.
Right.
You know, but there is another way of categorizing Tawheed.
Which is?
Which they break them into just two parts.
Okay.
The part one is al-ilm al-khabari, the knowledge and the recognition of who Allah is.
Okay.
And the second one is talabi, the actions.
Wonderful, okay.
So this is again another mechanism
right.
Of dividing Tawheed.
So this is a mercy, having different ways of learning.
Yes. So now the foundation of Tawheed, the second half, which is actions, is the knowledge of who Allah is. And at the very beginning of the episode, we said that they are connected. And if there is a defect, if there is a shortcoming, if there is a lackage in your commitment to Allah, it's because of a deficit in your knowledge of who Allah is. So it's a requirement. Yeah, you don't have to be academic. You know, you don't have to teach Asma and Sifat, but you must, in a way, try to explore to learn about Allah Subhanahu wa Taala,
for personal
because
benefit.
It's the foundation.
Right.
You see,
it's for your benefit. It's for your worship.
Look at this verse. الله الذي خلق سبع سماوات ومن الأرض مثلهن. Allah Subhanahu wa Taala is the one who created seven heavens. Seven layers of skies. And also there are seven layers of earth. We believe that. Not seven continents, like people see. Want to misinterpret that right. text. Ta'wil fashil hada.
No, yes,
it's,
right.
it's, you know, it's a corrupt interpretation.
Yes.
But there are seven layers of earth. يَتَنَزَّلُ الْأَمْرُ بَيْنَهُنْ The commands of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala descends. Back and forth, you know. Look. لِتَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٌ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ قَدْ أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عِلْمًا All of this for you to learn, to know that Allah is able to do everything. He created all of this, and He is all-knower. Of what happens in the seven earth and the seven heavens. So imagine the reason why the creation of the heavens and the earth and how they function. For us, the human being, to believe that Allah is all-able, is Qadir, to believe that Allah is all-knower, Alim, so that we commit to Him. Oh. The knowledge of Allah is the key.
Okay. Now, Sheikh, is this a matter of also identifying our priorities as Muslims? For example, knowing who Allah is perhaps step one. If I just became Muslim and I want to worship Allah, I don't necessarily have to go to advanced Islamic sciences and study the narrators of hadith and stuff like that immediately. First, I need to know who Allah is in order to worship Him. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I mean, it will help you with the quality of your worship. Enough that it will be a way for you to enter Jannah. You know, it's a reason for you to enter Jannah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Malik, في حديث أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه, and the hadith in the two صحيح, it's agreed upon. What did he say? إِنَّ لِلَّهِ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ اسْمَا مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ مَا إِلَّا وَاحِدًا مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has 99 names. 100
minus 1.
Whosoever ahsaha. I insist in using the Arabic word.
Okay.
Because enumeration, that's the translation
it's
of the word. No.
Exactly.
You see, ahsaha would mean four things. Enumeration is just one thing. So the translation is limited.
Okay.
So when you use the word enumeration,
it's not complete.
No, ahsa is not Allah, and this is a mistake because a lot of people when they go over this, they think that they just have a huwa Allahu alladhi la ilaha illa al-malik al-quddus
as-salam
al-mu'min al-muhaymin. That's beautiful, but that's not what ahsa.
Because a parrot can do that. You can teach a parrot, a bird to do that, right?
That's not ahsa.
Okay.
And we should go over this.
Okay.
We should go. That's why I'm using the Arabic term ahsa, the verb ahsa. Man ahsa means four things.
Okay.
دخل الجنة, who will enter Jannah. This is the witness that the knowledge of just 99
yes.
names
yes.
of Allah's names, because that hadith, and I think in your intro you hinted to that, may invite Muslims to believe that the names of Allah are just limited to 99.
And Sheikh, we want to take a look at a quick report, the brothers in the control
sure.
room. I really want to get right back to the subject, though. Sure. This is an interesting one, inshallah.
Inshallah.
Okay, we're going to keep it for after the report. You guys stay tuned to learn more about the 99 names of Allah, that is an authentic hadith or not. You guys stay tuned, take a look at this report. We'll be right back with more from Sheikh Kareem Abu Zayd.
just reminds me of a very beautiful name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Kareem, the most generous, the all generous Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is Al-Kareem, yuhibbul furama. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most generous and He loves those who are generous.
I will talk about 99 names, 88 taken from the Quran and 18 from the Sunnah.
The name that comes to my mind now is Al-Hayy, the all-living. Everybody will die. The good will die, the bad will die. The believer will die, and the non-believer will die. The righteous will die, and the evildoer will die. And who shall remain? Al-Hayy, the all-living.
The name that comes to my mind now is Al-Wahid Al-Ahad. One and only, the creator of this universe. The name that comes to my mind now is Al-Mujib. Al-Mujib is the one who answers the call of the needy.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the ins and the jinn solely to worship Him.
The Prophet says, whosoever doesn't have rahmah upon people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not have rahmah upon him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not be merciful towards that which does not have rahmah upon people.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is the Shakur, and He also likes us to be thankful. And we've got so much to be thankful of. When you go to the hospital and visit the sick,
the purpose of this is to know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to love Him.
Welcome back to Huda Tonight, Sheikh Kareem Abuzayd. Thank you for staying with us. Would you like to comment on this report, Sheikh? Would you like to get back to our interesting discussion about the 99 names of Allah? And before you do, I'm sorry, Sheikh, I want to remind the viewers at home, you guys, give us a call. We are live. If you would like to call in and talk to Sheikh Kareem Abuzayd about this issue of the names and attributes of Allah, or any issue indeed, give us a call, inshallah. Sheikh Kareem, would you like to comment on the report, or would you like to get right back to your discussion?
Well, the report is wonderful. I think we will comment once we explain the word Ahsaha, because it's
okay,
in
yes.
the depth of
okay.
the word Ahsaha.
Okay.
But I think there is the hadith
of
Abi Huraira for Sahihain that Allah has 99 names, 100 minus 1.
Right.
Whosoever does Ahsaha will enter Jannah.
Right.
So, first of all, we're talking about the benefit, one of the benefits of learning the names and the attributes, or does ihsa for the names and the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just 99 of them will be a means for him to enter Jannah.
And the witness was the knowledge.
The witness yes. is the knowledge. Now, this hadith may invite a lot of Muslims to assume that the names of Allah are just limited to 99 names, and this is wrong.
Okay.
The names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are indefinite, countless.
Infinite, you cannot count.
Infinite.
Yeah.
That's the word, infinite.
No, indefinite also, yeah, yeah.
Indefinite
correct.
Too. That's yeah. You can't keep track of them. What is the evidence? في مسند الإمام أحمد, حديث عبد الله بن مسعود, the famous hadith, the famous dua. O Allah, I am your slave, the son of your slave woman, the son of your slave also servant. My affairs is in your hand, ناصيتي بيدك. Whatever you decree upon me will come to pass. And I'm contented with this. I call upon you with each name you named yourself with, or you revealed it in one of the books, or you taught it any of your servants. Here is the witness. Or you kept the knowledge of it with you. أو استأثرت به في علم الغيب عندك. So this hadith establishes
right.
the
names of Allah.
The reality that there are names that Allah did not reveal.
Yeah.
In books, nor taught any of his servants.
Okay.
And we do have another hadith, the lengthy hadith, the hadith of intercession, hadith al-shafa'ah, that when mankind in the day of resurrection, mu'minuhum wa kafiruhum, the believers and the disbelievers amongst them, would suffer from standing for an extended duration of time in the land of gathering without knowing what will unfold, then they would go to the messengers, one after another, requesting them to go and intercede before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order for Allah to come in a way that suits His Majesty,
right.
to begin reckoning and
right.
judgment. The hadith says that they will go to Adam, then Noah, then Ibrahim, then Musa, then Isa, alayhim as-salam, and then they would end up, all these will decline, will say no, you know.
Not qualified.
And when they go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he will say, I am for it. Then he will proceed and he will prostrate in front of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here is the witness again. I'm quoting the whole thing for that witness. ثُمَّ يَفْتَحُ اللَّهُ عَلَيَّ بِمَحَامِدْ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reveal to me names and attributes of His that no human being ever praised Allah with it.
Okay, this is the witness.
Great. So this is the witness. Yeah. And we're talking about the day of what?
Resurrection.
Day of resurrection.
Okay, that's a great evidence.
So what do we mean then by 99 names? Out of the names of Allah, there are 99 names.
Okay.
It's like I tell you Laylatul Qadr. When is Laylatul Qadr?
It's in the last 10 days.
Can we say it's the 27th? Possible.
It's possible. We can't not be sure.
The 23rd? Possible.
Yeah.
Okay. Now the question comes in. Did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam identify these 99 names?
This is a great question.
No. He never did.
We cannot, if we count all the names of Quran and Sunnah, we cannot find 99?
Well, the 99 names are amongst the names mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah.
Okay.
You understand?
Right.
But you say that name, and you end up with 99 names.
I see.
Never been established.
And there is,
I want to warn the viewers, there is a hadith in Fi Sunan al-Imam al-Tirmidhi, where he quotes that the Prophet named these names. The hadith, the consensus of the experts of hadith, the hadith is weak.
Okay, so we cannot rely on this to build anything.
No, it's weak. Fabricated. Some of them actually said it's
fabricated.
It's fabricated or forged. Is not correct.
Okay.
So now the notion that the 99 names are these names is incorrect.
Okay.
For you to coincide with the 99 names, like you have to do i'tikaf the last 10 nights of Ramadan to coincide with Laylatul Qadr, you have to study what?
The whole 10 days you have to
the
be.
The whole.
Right.
You have to study the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran and the authentic hadith.
Okay.
You have to do this. You have to study them in order to coincide. But listen, the fact that the name was mentioned in the Quran would give it what?
A high possibility.
High status.
Yeah.
It's like the night of the 27th of Ramadan.
Right.
There is a high status because we have a lot of text.
Right.
We'd establish that. So the names that are mentioned in the Quran, especially in the last page in Surah Al-Hashr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listed these names one after another. Certainly, Ismullah, the Prophet spoke about the mighty name of Allah. So there are indications would give more credential to certain names over other names. There is no question about it. But for you to get those 99 names, you have to study all of them.
Sheikh, you wanted to do this program once a week to teach the people how to get closer to Allah, to know who your Lord is.
Right.
And you chose to speak about the names and attributes of Allah. So this would indicate to us the first way for me as a servant of Allah to get close to Him and to improve my relationship with Him is by knowing His names and attributes. Somebody might say, isn't there a different method of getting closer to Allah? Why the names and attributes? Why are they so important? Why is it important for me to know these names and attributes, as opposed to maybe some other sort of Islamic studies, for example?
You see, a lot of the people, I think mistakenly, and this is the great skill of Imam Shafi'i, one of the greatest skills of Imam Shafi'i, is connecting aqidah to fiqh, connecting belief system. This subject that we're talking about is a matter of belief system. Names of attributes of Allah.
It's divided into the belief
what
system.
This has to do with me praying? It does have to do with you praying.
Right.
Imagine one of the attributes of Allah, that Allah has a face. Kullu shay'in, Allah says, كُلُّ شَيْءٍ هَالِكٌ إِلَّا وَجْهَ. Every single thing will perish except Allah's face. Now listen, we must affirm that Allah has a face, but we don't liken His face to the created.
Okay.
You understand?
Right.
Likewise, we don't like the faces of the created to the face of Allah.
Right.
لا نمثل.
Right. There's no... Example or correlation.
You see, when we say we must affirm, because there are people out of good intention, Let's assume that.
Yeah, yeah, of course, certainly, yeah.
They rejected the fact that Allah has a face. But why did he do this? He was afraid to end up liking Allah to the created. Because when you say the word face,
right,
the first thing that would go spring out of your...
Immediately
is the face of who?
A human.
A human.
Yeah, of course.
No.
Okay.
So we tell them, thank you very much. You had right. a good intention.
Right.
But we don't like, because we understand the names and the attributes under this umbrella. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ.
Okay. As a general overarching rule.
Yes. No one is like in Allah. No one is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
No one. لَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُؤًا أَحَدٍ. No one can be compared to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
No one is like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, once it comes to his divine essence,
okay.
Once it comes to his attributes of the essence, sifatul that, like the face, once it comes to his actions of lordship, creation, sovereignty, disposing, once it comes to his names and attributes.
Okay.
So now we affirm that Allah has a face. There are others who said, okay, we believe that Allah has, we affirm, because the word was mentioned in the Quran.
Yeah.
The word was mentioned in the Quran. So some of them said, but let's find a different meaning to the word face.
A different interpretation.
Right. Ta'wil.
Right.
I tell them, why did they do this? Because they are afraid to end up liking
right.
Allah.
Yeah, their intention is good. I mean, they don't want liking Allah to.
Some of them, our intention are weird, not. Are not.
Okay.
Yani, but okay. I always
may
like
Allah
to.
Guide everyone.
May Allah guide everyone.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
But mashallah, because it does destroy the religion if you don't understand the names and the attributes of Allah properly.
Right.
You end up with
a totally wrong concept.
Totally
of Allah.
Wrong concept of who you worship.
Yeah.
ما هو يقول لك الإيه. المعطل يعبد عدما والممثل يعبد صنما. Pay attention to this. The one who negate the names and the attributes of Allah is worshipping what? Nobody.
That's a good point.
Certainly.
Right. What are you worshipping then? Right.
Who are you worshipping?
Yeah, right.
When you say Allah doesn't have a hand, Allah doesn't have a face, when they are mentioned in the Quran, when you say Allah is not merciful, Allah is not...
Right, right.
When they are mentioned in the revelation, who you worship?
We have to have some sort of
it's like I tell you, listen, I have a son, mashallah, he is out of this world. Oh, what are his attributes?
None. Yeah, it doesn't make sense. Okay, I understand your point.
It doesn't make any sense.
Right.
So when we say we must affirm any name, any attribute of Allah mentioned in the Quran or the sound hadith, without misinterpreting them, without taking their apparent meaning
okay.
to another hidden meaning. When look at this. When they say that Allah descends the last third of the night, you know, they say, yeah, don't say Allah doesn't descend. Don't right. say that. The mercy of Allah descends.
Right. They add some sort of
No, they do something called ta'wil. What is ta'wil? They take the apparent meaning, which is Allah descends. I mean,
right.
you're an Arabic speaking.
Right.
When
right.
I say Allah yatanazzal, Allah descends
yeah,
in
clear.
The lower heaven
very clear.
In the last third of the night, is crystal clear right. to an Arabic speaking.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is what intended for you to understand
right.
from the text.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, because they don't like to liken Allah, because when you say Allah descends, what goes into their mind?
As if me and you, a human being.
You see, we don't liken Allah to the created being.
Right, right.
We don't liken Allah to the... You see, the safest way to understand the names and the attributes, the way that the companions understood it, and the Sahaba understood
Which
it.
Which was not excessively asking about it.
Because they right. knew what it
right,
is.
Right, right.
They understood. You see, you know this man who came and asked Imam Malik? And your name is Malik, that's yeah. why you're laughing.
No, I love this story. You told me before the show. I really like this story.
You know, when the man came and asked, استوى على العرش. What is استوى على العرش? Listen, an Arabic speaker know what استوى is. Rose and sat.
Okay, something like that.
Something. على واستقر.
Okay, and he stayed.
Linguistically, it's known. And the meaning is known. But once it comes to Allah, I cut off any hope
right.
that I can find out the nature and the reality of how Allah rose above
and
the
throne. And that was one of your 4 points.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Inshallah, we'll go. This subject is so interesting. When you open it up, I just enjoy talking about it. You know, there is. Imagine talking about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's one of the most, and you cannot imagine it does lift your faith.
Oh, certainly.
If you really want to get a jump start, once it comes to your faith, if your iman is down,
great point,
just read the names and attributes.
SubhanAllah. That's a great point.
It's like one of these jump, you know, when you have a car that is, you know, is...
hit the gear and go
if
fast.
You know, if you want to have a jump start, just this is one of the things that you can do. فالإمام مالك told him what? Listen, الاستواء معلوم.
Istawa
is known.
Okay.
Known to me as an Arabic speaking person.
Yeah.
Al-Iman bihi wajib. I must affirm that Allah rose above the throne because it's mentioned in the Quran.
It's obligatory.
It's obligatory. It's is a text in the Quran.
SubhanAllah.
Tayyib. Al-Kayf.
Not.
How about is unknown to us.
How he did it is not known.
Because I don't know anything about Allah because I have not seen Allah, like we mentioned.
Yes.
And there is no one is like in Allah.
Yeah.
Subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
So for me is unknown. And asking about it is a bid'ah. Get out of here.
So what is the wisdom behind this? I love this answer. And the wisdom is...
You cannot imagine this answer just giving us a lot of break. Imagine.
Right.
Because this subject, I know a lot of the viewers may not be aware of the depth of the subject, but this subject is a subject of debate for years. And go ahead.
I'm trying to interrupt you, Sheikh. Because here you want to teach the people how to get to know Allah through the names and the attributes. So perhaps it's important to say, look, it's not important for everyone to get into this debate.
I think I got off the subject here, and I still want to explain why it's important. And I said the Imam al-Shafi'i connected, and I spoke about the face. Let me just finish point.
Go ahead.
So the viewers may say, oh, that sheikh is going right and left, and with an evil getting, is he trying to say? But let me go back to the point of the face.
Okay.
So we believe that Allah has a face. We don't liken the face of Allah to the created being, nor we liken the faces of the created being to Allah. طيب. And also we cut off any hope that we can find out how the face of Allah looks like.
And that's an important point. Don't even think about it, right? I mean...
الشنقيطي, one of the scholars says, الكف عن التكييف, look at this, تقديرا بالجنان أو تقريرا باللسان أو تحريرا بالبنان. That you must cut off any hope that you can find out how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks like, how his names and attributes are, the nature and the reality, how his divine essence is. What? Well, with your heart? That if you sit like this and say, okay, I'm going to do this, I'm going to find out how Allah looks like.
I'm going to do some sort of meditation.
Do some meditation. And whatever you reach, Allah is above that.
Yeah, yeah. Subhanahu. You'll never reach.
Or that you describe Allah with your tongue. تحريراً تقديراً بالجنان تقريراً باللسان. That you speak out by describing Allah has this, has that. أو تحريراً بالبنان, or you use your banan, the fingertip.
Yeah.
Writing. Or drawing.
Yeah.
Or making
sculptures.
Sculptures of Allah.
Idols.
Idols.
Yeah.
You can't. Whatever you reach, Allah is above that.
Okay.
So you must cut off any hope that the face of Allah looks like that way or that certain way. Because I want to say this. Why? Because shaitan comes and plays.
Certainly.
Shaitan comes and plays with the minds of a lot of Muslims and make you visualize Allah in a certain way. So Allah is above that. Whatever you reach.
As a way to get you to deviate.
Look at this hadith, Malik. Look at this. And again, I'm not getting off the subject. I'm going to go back to the face and the connection with the ibadah and why it's important. Look at this. يَأْتِ الشَّيْطَانُ أَحَدُكُمْ. A shaitan will come to one of you and he will ask you this question. Who created the seven earth and the seven heavens?
Allah.
Actually, shaitan is going to help you.
Right. Yeah.
He's going to help you. Say Allah.
Yeah.
He's taking you.
All you who believe,
do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. That's an entry.
Yeah.
Allah is the creator of the seven heavens and the seven earth. And then here's the next question. Who created you? Shaitan is going to help you.
Allah.
Say Allah.
Allah.
Shaitan is going to tell you, say Allah.
Right.
But here's what he's looking for. Who created Allah?
Right, because he's playing with you. Asking questions that don't need to be asked.
And if you go into this, listen to this. If you go into answering this question now, how does Allah look like?
Right.
And Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told you that. Say, آمنت بالله ورسوله. I believe in Allah and His Messenger.
Right. Cut off. Right.
Stop.
Because if you go down this road, Sheikh, you're not coming back.
Nope.
That's the point.
It's a road that, you know, if you go, a lot of people went.
They don't come back.
It's like an ocean.
Yes, with no
shore. If you don't have the right paddles.
You're not coming back.
You're not going to come
back. Because this is philosophy and kind of this
speculative theology.
Yes, that's a great term, Sheikh.
Yes.
Because there's no, I'm sorry to interrupt you, Sheikh.
Yeah.
Because there's no end. There's no end to that.
Let me finish my point here.
Yes, yes.
So the viewers are not confused. So when you stand in the salah, this is an act of worship, salah. We do it 5 times a day, beside the voluntary, beside if there is tahajjud. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Allah yansibu wajhahu ila wajhi ahadikum fi salah. The face of Allah is looking at your face in salah. Imagine someone now who believes that Allah has a face. Yes, he's not going to liken the face of Allah to the created being, nor he's going to try to figure out how the face of Allah looks like. But I'm standing and now I'm looking at Allah. So Allah is looking at me. Allah is looking at my face right now. And I'm standing in the salah.
Yeah, of course, it will have a huge effect on you.
Imagine. Yeah. You think I'm going to, you know, some people when they pray, they do like this.
Looking at the stars or, you know, they do rubbing like this. Their ears or whatever. Yeah.
And the Prophet said, مَا بَالُ أَقْوَامٍ يَرْفَعُونَ أَبْصَارَهُمْ. If you don't stop doing this, Allah would snatch your sight. Because you must have what? It's even in our human concept. It's a sign of disrespect.
Oh,
when
certainly.
I'm talking to you.
And I'm looking at the stars.
And I'm looking at somewhere else.
Right.
Can you imagine looking at a cup?
Right, and then you look at the stars.
And you look at the sun. He's going to say, look at me, man.
Right, you're like you're guilty or
look
something.
Look at me. Yeah. So you're supposed to look. You show humility and humbleness. Yeah. And you're bowing down in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that belief in the attribute of the face affected what? The quality of what? Of your worship.
Okay. Sheikh, we have a phone call from Brother Shaheen from Oman, and then we'll get back to the point so we can link together the Imam Shafi comment. Brother Shaheen from Oman, assalamu alaikum, brother. Thank you for calling.
Oh, assalamu alaikum.
Oh, sister, thank you, sister.
Calling from Oman. In your speech, you are describing a word, asaha.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to know that 4 points you were telling that enumerate. In English, the word is to enumerate, but in Arabic, it is asaha.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can you explain this word, please?
Yes. Thank you so much for that call. I want to remind the viewers that wasn't a stage call.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you, the viewers are following what we're saying.
Yeah, they're following you, Sheikh. And that was like, we're coming to the end of the program, and they ask
that
question.
Next, it has to be next Tuesday, but I will do it quickly for the system.
Okay.
I will do it quickly.
Okay.
Because asaha means enumerate. If you translate it just ahsaha means to count them.
Right.
But ahsaha means 4 things.
Okay.
Number one, that you collect them, you count them.
Okay.
You memorize them.
As you mentioned.
Or you read them.
As you mentioned, people say.
Yes.
Okay.
Number two, that you understand them the way that our righteous predecessors understood them.
Okay.
And this is what we were going over a minute ago.
Yeah.
That you do not negate the name. You do not negate the attribute. You do not misinterpret it. You must understand them. You must affirm. If Allah said, Allah has a hand, Allah has a hand. But I don't liken his hand to the created. Nor I try to find out how Allah's hand look like. You understand?
Right.
I cut off, So I must understand. إثباتٌ ونفيٌ without tashbih, without tamthil.
Okay.
That you affirm and negate. You affirm what Allah affirmed, and you negate what Allah negated.
Okay.
Without what? Liken Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
to the
created beings, and also قَطْعُ الْأَمَلِ. You cut off any hope that you can figure out how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks like, how his names and attributes. So this is number two.
Yeah.
So number one is counting, memorizing, saying them. That you collect them from the Quran and the Sunnah, and you count them. You say them. You understand them what?
Correctly, as you mentioned.
Correctly, the way that the
predecessors.
Our righteous predecessors understood. You don't come and say, how did he rose above? We don't know how, but we know that he rose in a certain way.
نَحْنُ
نُفَوُّضُ الْكَيْفِيَةِ. We give up the knowledge regarding the how about. But they do function in a certain way. Be careful. Because sometimes they say, you're rejecting. No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rose in a certain way. But I don't know once it comes.
Okay.
Number three, each name Malik has a servitude.
As you mentioned, Sheikh,
each name has a meaning. That meaning sometimes requires a servitude.
For example, Sheikh.
For example, Ismullah is Sami'a. Allah is the hearer.
Okay.
That Allah hears. Now what should you say when you speak? Should you
good
say
word.
Something? Good words.
Okay, I see.
If you know that Allah hears what you say, should you gossip?
It's a matter of, if you do that, it's like disrespecting.
I want to tell you how the knowledge of the names and the attribute connected to...
Yes.
So each name has a servitude that you must exercise.
Like you said, the aqid and the fiqh together. Now.
Together.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Not just the fiqh, the manners, the action.
Yeah.
If Allah, Ismullah al-Basir. Al-Basir is the all-seer, that Allah sees you wherever you are.
So act like it. Act like
should
he's
you
a seer.
Should you do something like this? Huh?
Right.
Should you go inside a room and watch a bad movie?
Right.
Should you do that? Huh? Because Allah is what?
Al-Basir.
So Allah sees, Allah hears. This is an example.
Okay.
There are names where you should exercise the attribute, Ar-Rahman.
Show mercy.
And this is what was happening in the report.
Yeah.
You know, when they say that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the merciful. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam connected the two. In hadith Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As,
fi
Sunan Abi Dawood, he said, مَنْ لَا يَرْحَمْ لَا يُرْحَمْ. Whosoever is not showing mercy to the created beings, he will never be shown mercy by who?
Allah.
And another wording, irhamu man fil ardi, irhamukum man fil sama. Be merciful to those who are in the earth. The one in the heavens will be merciful to you. So you must exercise certain servitude. There are names that imply the greatness of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Okay.
Al-azim, al-jaleel, so you must exalt Allah with subhanahu wa ta'ala with these names. There are names that imply hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgiving a man who killed 100 souls. This is not an invitation to go and kill people,
right.
But this gives hope to the sinners that you always can come back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are names that imply fear that Allah punishes. You know, al-muntaqim, al-jabbar.
Right.
So you must fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is number three.
Okay.
There are names that
imply servitude.
Apply certain servitude.
Okay.
Based on the nature of that name,
okay.
You must exercise that servitude.
Okay.
طيب. Number four and the last, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. To Allah belongs the most beautiful names. Call upon Allah using these names.
And that's a beautiful one, Sheikh. I mean, for example, if I'm in need of mercy, I can say, I use the word that applies to His mercy. This sort
right.
of thing?
يَا رَحْمَنَ ارْحَمْنِي.
Right.
You see that you use the name relevant to your condition and to your case. So this is the meaning of Ahsaha, and we'll probably need to cover this next episode, inshallah. So number one, counting, collecting them, memorizing them, saying them. Number two, understanding them the way that our righteous predecessors did understand them. Number three, exercising the servitude which is related to the name.
Okay.
Number four, you call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala using these names.
And Sheikh, that's perfect timing. We're going to have to continue this talk next Tuesday, inshallah. Thank you for your time, you guys. And you guys, don't miss Huda Tonight every Tuesday. We're going to continue this series with Sheikh Kareem Abu Zayd, speaking about the names and attributes of Allah and how we can understand them and use them to improve ourselves and become closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and improve our religion and our religious practices. You guys, thank you for staying tuned. Until next time, I leave you in the care of Allah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.